Begin by saying that the rise of Islam in America is inextricably tied to the black experience, and also the rise of Islam in Newark, New Jersey, which is the subject of my book, is inextricably tied to the black religious culture in that city. And having said that, the subject of Noble Druali that Dr. Gomez brought up is a very important story to the city of Newark, New Jersey. It's a very, very important story because most researchers have stated that Noble Druali founded his organization, the Canaanite Temple, which ultimately led to the Morris Science Temple, that he founded that organization in Newark, New Jersey. And what's interesting about the seed, the Islamic seed that was planted in Newark, New Jersey, is that several other movements came out of that. We have, I would say, if we talk about Islam in the black community, the establishment of Islam in the 20th century black community, we can look at the Moorish American community, but we also find that there was another figure named Muhammad Izzeldin, who was also a part of the Moorish experience. He was a part of this experience, but he eventually left that movement. Dennis Walker, who is a scholar who wrote a book about African American nationhood, he says that this character, this figure, Muhammad Izzeldin, that he was a part of the Moorish American community when they actually came to Newark, New Jersey. And this is new information that we're coming across. Maybe within the last maybe 5 years, this is new information. Now, Izzeldin, first being a part of the Morris Science Temple, by 1929, Noble Druali, he dies, and there's a struggle between Izzeldin and Noble Druali over funds. Izzeldin was the governor of directly under Noble Druali. He was the governor over a Moorish Science Temple that was in Detroit. And Druali, he was in Chicago. Well, what happens is that Izzeldin winds up going to Egypt because Detroit, At some point, he crossed paths with people who had migrated here from the Arab and Muslim world. And there were lots of Arabs, lots of Muslims in the Detroit area. So we believe that Izzeldin may have come in contact with some of these people. Well, 1931, Izzeldin somehow gets a scholarship, and he goes to Egypt. He studies in Egypt for 5 years. He stays from 1931 to 1936. And he comes back to the States, and within 2 years of coming back, he starts a new movement. That movement was called the Adinolahi Universal Arabic Association. Now, mind you, we're talking about these all black Americans. This is a black American who actually went to Egypt, comes back. He sets up his organization, and the focus of the organization is not on the teachings of the Morris Science Temple that he was once a part of. The focus of the organization is to reacquaint African Americans with Sunni Islam, Orthodox Islam. So he teaches the Quran, he teaches the principles of the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. But what he does is he gives his community a name that distinguishes them. It's not Moorish American. He gives them the name Hamitic, Hamitic Arab. Hamitic, if you know anything about the biblical Old Testament story, Ham was one of Noah's sons. And in the literature, he's characterized as the black son. And he had three sons, Japheth, Shem, and Ham. So what Izzeldin does is he says that we are Arabs, the people who join his organization, but we are Hamitic Arabs. And make no, let's be very clear about that. We are Hamitic Arabs. And he says this, of course, because black people are still dealing with racism in America. Jim Crow is very much alive, even in the northern areas of the country. Black people are still experiencing racism. But Izzeldin believes that it's important for African Americans who join his organization to be familiar with what he calls the tribe from which they were a part of. So again, these are three streams of consciousness now that evolve within the African American Muslim community. The Moorish American stream of consciousness and the Nation of Islam that Dr. Gomez spoke of, Farad Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad. But the stream of consciousness that we know little about and we have not discussed is the one that is represented by Muhammad Izzeldin. And so what happened was a contest within the African American community, a contest between those that identify themselves as Muslim for the hearts and minds of the African American community. The picture here, this is a picture of Noble Drew Alley, who was the founder of the Morris Science Temple. This picture here is a picture that was actually located at the Schomburg Center. And it says that this is the possible site of the Morris Science Temple. Now, when I interviewed one of the members of the Morris Science Temple, it must have been about 10 years ago, and the gentleman was 88 years old at the time that I interviewed him. He said that Noble Drew Alley, well, he said that his father told him that Noble Drew Alley lived on Warren Street. And as I look at this photo, this looked like this could be Warren Street at around 1913. But of course, we have to verify to see if that is in fact the case. Here's a picture of Noble Drew Alley and his followers. This is Drew Alley in the middle. And this gentleman to his right is Muhammad Izzeldin. But at the time when this photo was taken, his name was Lomax Bey, because the members of the Morris Science Temple would either attach Eel or Bey to their name. He had another name, Mehmed Ahmed. He had maybe about three or four different names that he used. But his name was not Ezzeldine at this time, because he was still a part of the Morris Science Temple. This is another picture of Noble Drowley. Morris American man and boy studying teachings of organizations prophet, because they refer to Noble Drowley as a prophet, which is inconsistent with the teachings of mainstream Islam. These are clips that we found in the Newark Public Library, clips of newspapers, pictures of Moorish Americans, man, Johnson Eel and his wife. Here's another picture of Moorish American women working with the group's youth in Newark. All of these pictures verify that there was a strong, that there was a presence of African Americans who claimed Islam as their religion in Newark, New Jersey, in the first half of the 20th century. We found evidence in old city directories, old telephone books. Okay. Here's a picture of Ezzeldine, not a very good one, but you can get a pretty good idea of what he looked like. This is a picture, you can't see it well, but Ezzeldine is right here in the middle. This is a picture of Ezzeldine in Egypt right before he is about to come to the United States. And some of the members of that organization told me that when he came back in 36, that he was stopped at Ellis Island and he was questioned. He had some trouble getting back into the country, but he was able to come back. Here's another picture of Ezzeldine at a Islamic convention in the 1950s, and these are some of the other prominent leaders of other organizations and also members of his organization as well. There are some, he had also developed ties with immigrant movements in the country. This is a photo of Ezzeldine. Here he is right here. This is New Jersey, actually, a place called, it says Elm, New Jersey. and this is his community, some of his followers. This gentleman here, we believe, is Nasser Ahmed, who was, Donna will talk about, well, Donna's done some work on the first mosque of Pittsburgh. We were talking last night about this gentleman maybe being one of the key players in the development of that organization, which started around 1934. But they all knew Ezzeldine. Ezzeldine was really, at this time, the top person who really understood the religion. These are some of his, this is one of his manuscripts, a letter that he wrote to the members of his organization in 1949, and you can't see it very well, but this is from his Prince Street, Newark residence, because he had his headquarters was in Newark, New Jersey. By 1941, his headquarters was in Newark, New Jersey, and he was operating from that base. It's also important to remember that in Newark at this time, there is no strong Nation of Islam influence, although the Nation of Islam is very influential in places like Chicago and Detroit. But in Newark at this time, there is no significant Nation of Islam influence. It's all Moorish American and Adino Lahi Universal Arabic Association, Izzeldin's movement. This is another manuscript where Izzeldin named one of the members of his community, one of the people who joined his movement. His name is Wahab Abu Bakr, and Wahab is still alive. His son may be here. Malik, are you here? Malik is in the back. Malik was a member of Izzeldin's organization. He was the son of Wahab Abu Bakr. So you can see here the Arabic and the phonetics that are used to explain what the sounds of the Arabic letters are. This is a membership card from 1961 to 62. Musa Hamad, who currently lives in Philadelphia, he shared this with me. Okay. This is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a spiritual guide of the Nation of Islam. This is a picture of the lost founds, what the Nation of Islam called lost founds. They were listening to Minister James Shabazz at Temple Number 25. They would go out, what they call fishing, and they would sell Muhammad Speaks and other items. Most of you may know about the famous bean pie, but they would sell these items, and they would invite people to come back to the temple to listen to the minister. And this is what this represents here. You can see the eager faces. Here's a picture of Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, and the Newark minister of the Nation of Islam, Minister James Shabazz. By 1975, Elijah Muhammad, he dies, and his son, Imam W. Dean Muhammad, takes over. Imam W. Dean Muhammad immediately begins to bring the Nation of Islam members towards Sunni Islam. He begins the process of teaching them the five pillars of Islam. In 1977, actually this date may not be accurate. This may be the early 80s, but Imam W. Dean Muhammad here appeared with the first black elected mayor of Newark, New Jersey, Mayor Kenneth Gibson, to join him in solidarity to celebrate black heritage. This is the Black Heritage Day Parade. Here's another picture of Imam Muhammad. This is a picture of the women marching in Newark, Muslim women in support of the Black Heritage Day Parade. So I'd like to conclude by just making a couple of points. Okay, I need to show. This is the first Eid in Weekwake Park. The Eid celebration after Ramadan and after during the Hajj season. This is the first Eid celebration in the park after Elijah Muhammad dies. What's interesting is that the groups from the Nation of Islam who were a part of the Nation of Islam and also people who were a part of Izzeldin's movement were a part of this celebration. Here you see people are prostrating because at this point they have been learning the tenets of the religion, and now they're trying to practice the religion the way Muslims around the world practice the religion. This is the minister who took over after Minister James was assassinated. So in closing, I'd just like to say that I think my research, what I have learned from the research, is that Islam is a part of the black religious experience in the country. It has always, the rise of Islam has always been a part, inextricably tied to the black experience. In order to understand the history of Islam in America, you have to understand the history of black people, because that's the way that it happened in this part of the world. Also, Muslims of African descent laid the foundation for Muslim community development in the city of Newark, New Jersey. That seems clear to me, because there was no significant immigrant influence in Newark until the late 1970s or the beginning in the 80s. Lastly, I believe we must do a better job at contextualizing the history of Muslims and Islam in America. Thank you.